second or for our second reading, turning in our Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 25. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals. And the number of the workmen according to their service was of the sons of Asaph, Zakur, and Joseph, and Nethaniah, and Azarela, the sons of Asaph, under the hands of Asaph, which prophesied according to the order of the king. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, and Zeri, and Jeshaiah, and Hashabiah, and Mataniah, 6, under the hands of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with a harp, to give thanks and to praise the Lord. Of Heman, the sons of Heman, Bukiah, Mataniah, Uziel, Shebuel, and Jerimoth, Hananiah, Hanani, Eliata, Gedalti, and Romanti Ezer, Josh Bekeshah, Maloti, Hothir, and Mahaziot. All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, in the words of God to lift up the horn. And God gave to Haman 14 sons and 3 daughters. All these were under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord with cymbals, psalteries, and harps for the service of the house of God according to the king's order to Asaph, Jeduthun, and Haman. So the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all that were cunning, was 208. And they cast lots, ward against ward, as well the small as the great, the teacher as the scholar. Now the first lot came for Asaph to Joseph, the second to Gedaliah, who with his brethren and sons were 12. The third to Zakur, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The fourth to Isri, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The fifth to Nethaniah, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The sixth to Bukiah, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The seventh to Jesharela, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The eighth to Jeshaiah, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The ninth to Mataniah, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The tenth to Shimei, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 11th to Azareel, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 12th to Hashabiah, he and his sons and his brethren were 12. The 13th to Shebuel, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 14th to Mattathiah, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 15th to Jeremoth, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 16th to Hananiah, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 17th to Josh-Bekeshah, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 18th to Hanani, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 19th to Maloti, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 20th to Eliata, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 21st to Hothir, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 22nd to Gedalti, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 23rd to Mahaziot, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The 24th to Romamti Ezer, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, so we're going to do a math problem today, right? So how many courses were there? 24. And how many in each course were there? 12. So what is 24 times 12? It's 288. Children, the shortcut way to do that is remember what 12 times 12 is, 144, and then double it, 24 times 12, right? So the 288 that were mentioned there in verse 7 are mentioned under the hand of the leader of each of those courses for the 24 courses. And the reason there were 24 courses is because we'll remember that Levites were spread throughout all of the land of Israel. Simeon and Levi, being two brothers, remember at Shechem, with Shechem and his father, that they misused the rite of circumcision and used it as a weapon of war instead against the Shechemites. And so Jacob said to them in the blessing, the patriarchal blessing, that they would be scattered throughout all Israel. Simeon was scattered throughout all Israel, mostly throughout the tribe of Judah, having no sure dwelling place of his own. And that was true also of the Levites, but the Levites were, because they were the sons of Levi, they had religious duty. They were the teachers, and so they were spread throughout all of Israel to be teachers in all of the synagogues. They were the preachers of the day, along with the prophets that would preach occasionally, because they didn't always have, Israel did not always have a teaching prophet, but they always had Levites. And so we read of that, don't we, in Malachi chapter 2, the priest's lips should keep knowledge, they should seek the law of the Lord in his mouth, no matter where they are. So they didn't stay at Jerusalem, all these Levites. They weren't stationed at Jerusalem. They were stationed throughout the land, and they only came to Jerusalem to serve for 2 weeks out of the year. And so 24 courses means 48 weeks. That's almost a year, and then they would begin again. And we'll read about this, won't we? The father of John Baptist, you'll remember his name, it was Zechariah, he served in the course of Abijah. And he would come to Jerusalem 2 weeks out of the year to burn incense. That was his job. There was a course there. And so these men didn't serve continuously. Now, the sons of Aaron did. The sons of Aaron stayed in the environs of Jerusalem. We're going to read about that in the next passage, where we read about those weird words, Parbar, just outside of Parbar. Parbar was the place of gathering and dwelling for the priests. Okay, but here, notice what David does. David provides this service of the song. And the service of the song in the days of the house of God, when sacrifices were wont to be made there, animal sacrifices. The animal sacrifices were accompanied with instrumental music. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 29. We hear there that during that Passover that Hezekiah put in place, following all of the commandments of David, that when the sacrifices were being offered, it was that time that the orchestra played. So these men, we'll remember, won't we? These guys came in, 288 members. They were well-practiced, but they didn't all serve at the same time. But remember, there were thousands of Levites. Didn't we read this in the last chapter? Thousands of Levites that also ministered in that way. So these 12 were the leaders of those courses of Levites that came in from all over the city, that they might have a full orchestra and choir for the days of sacrifice. You say, Pastor, why don't we use cymbals and pianos and harps and lutes and lyres and horns and all of those kinds of things today? Because we're not offering animal sacrifices. I didn't tell you in your preparation to come to worship today to make sure your goat is ready. Because we don't do that anymore. Because Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And so all of the trappings of the animal sacrifices are swept out of the church now in the days of the New Testament, because Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And that includes the instruments. Does it include the singing of psalms? No, it doesn't. And that passage that I just quoted or pointed you to in 2 Chronicles 29 also makes that very clear as well. Because there was a time during the sacrifices when the instruments played. And when the sacrifices stopped, the instruments stopped, but the singers went on. And the psalms were also sung throughout all of the synagogues of the land after the days of David, when there was an explosion of music brought to the worship of God by David the prophet. Did David do that all by himself? Well, in a kind of way he did, in that all of the pattern was revealed to David himself. The instruments were called the instruments of David. This is interesting, isn't it, to think about? The instruments of David means that the instruments were instruments that were given to him by inspiration. Let's think about that for a moment. That means that, you know, all God's people got a place in the choir. Well, that doesn't really work with regard to music. Well, I can bring my own instrument if I want. Well, that's not what happened in the Old Testament. There were particular commanded instruments. And this is what we would expect, right? If we're serving someone. Now, if we're serving ourselves, the instruments that please us might do. But if we're serving the Lord, the instruments that he's commanded will only do, right? So that's the beginning. So they set out these three men, and then under these three men, they develop these 24 courses of men who will come, along with other Levites, the ones that were mentioned for the song that numbered in the thousands that we've already read about. And these Levites and their courses then came together at various times during the year in Jerusalem to minister to the Lord with their song and with their instruments. And notice it says here that this all took place in the house of God. Verse 6, these were under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord with cymbals, psalteries, and harps for the service of the house of God, according to the king's order to Asaph, Jeduthun, and Haman. And we will recognize, won't we, those three names in some of the titles of the Psalms. Jeduthun is sometimes called the chief musician, right? So the choir master, if you will, or the leader of the orchestra. Haman and Asaph have also written psalms. There are psalm titles that point to them having written a psalm themselves. So they also were prophets in that way. And then the only other thing to mention before we go to our second psalm is that we have this interesting word, this use of the word prophesy here. They prophesied with song. Very often the Bible uses the term prophesied and couples it with singing. With singing. When Saul, King Saul, not Saul that became the Apostle Paul, but King Saul, when he was first inducted into the monarchy, he prophesied. That is, he joined a company of prophets as they came down the hill singing. Elisha will be asked, tell us what the word of the Lord is. And Elisha will respond, bring me then a minstrel. Bring me an instrument. Begin to play with an instrument and I will prophesy with it. Very often, prophesying then is spoken of as those words of God that are coming out of our mouth in song. And so, that's how we believe it's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when the women of the church are said to prophesy. They prophesy along with everyone else because we are singing, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We have an office to perform one to another when we gather for worship. That's why you can't gather at your own house and call it a service. We have an office to perform to one another. Gathering is an element of what we do, right? And when I say element, I mean it is elemental to what we do. So we sing, and when we are singing, we're all supposed to be listening to one another and hearing the word of God being spoken forth, being sung forth by each of us. This is what I believe in Acts chapter 21 is spoken with regard to Philip and four daughters that prophesied. They had a quartet and they sang psalms. This is consistent use of the word prophesying in Scripture. So, with that then, let's close. We'll stand and turn over to the last.